عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، أحمده سبحانه وأستعينه وأتوب إليه وأستغفره، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد، يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير، وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد عليه أفضل الصلاة والتسليم هو رسول الله وخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آله وعلى بيته وعلى أزواجه وعلى ذريته وعلى صحابته وعلى أرواح المؤمنين إلى أن تقوم الساعة، آمين. I bear witness that there is no other God but Allah. Praise to Him and His Highness, who has sent his messengers to guide the humanity to the right path. And I bear witness that Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, is the seal of all messengers and prophets. May Allah send peace and blessings to his soul and to the soul of his wives, his descendants, his companions, and the souls of the believers until the day of judgment. Ameen. Brothers and sisters in Islam, my khutbah today is about the influence of Islamic Sharia on the European laws. تأثير الشريعة الإسلامية في القوانين الأوروبية. The rationale for this topic is that there are ignorant voices here and there who say that the Islamic Sharia, Islamic law, is incompatible with Western laws or Western lifestyles. These are ignorant voices. If they just studied their own laws, they will find foundations, borrowings from the Islamic Sharia. And it happened just after the start of the mission of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Is this a unique Islamic law? And first, what's the Islamic law? These are the commands of Allah, praise to Him, whether prohibitions or recommendations or imperatives. And He has been sending these commands to His messengers, starting from Noah, peace be to him, to Ibrahim, to Musa, to Isa, and the seal Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon all of them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has summarized His commands and put them in His final message to humanity, the Holy Quran, the holy book of the Islamic faith. In Surah Ash-Shura, this is chapter 42, verse 13. Allah, praise to Him, says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم شرع لكم من الدين ما وصى به نوحا والذي أوحينا إليك وما وصينا به إبراهيم وموسى وعيسى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse that He has ordained, He has legislated for us what He recommended for to Nuh and what's in the Holy Quran and what He mentioned to Musa and Isa, to Ibrahim, to Musa and Isa. That's Jesus Christ, peace and blessing of Allah be upon all of them. Also in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 48, Allah, praise to Him, says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأنزلنا إليك الكتاب بالحق مصدقا لما بين يديه من الكتاب ومهيمنا عليه. Allah is addressing His messenger Muhammad, peace be upon him, but He is addressing us through him. He is saying, we have descended the book with truth to you, that's the Holy Quran, confirming what has been revealed before, but dominating it, because it is the final. This is the final message. It's dominating, superseding everything that has been descended before. So, if we attempt to understand the Islamic law, Sharia, it contains commands of Allah that do not change, like basic principles. For example, the Ten Commandments that Jews and Christians find in their book, they are exactly mentioned in the Holy Quran. But the Holy Quran is not limited to that. There are hundreds, there are thousands of God's commands in all aspects of life. But there are basic principles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in His previous books and also confirmed in the Holy Quran. But the Holy Quran exceeds that to contain guidance for humanity in all ages, all future centuries. The humans would always find guidance about something new happening to them. Starting with the Ten Commandments, and these are mentioned, basically mentioned in Exodus 20, in the Old Testament. The first one is, don't take other partners with God. It's a major principle of Islam found in so many verses, like in Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 22. Second, don't worship idols. You can find it in the Holy Quran in Surah Ibrahim. This is chapter 14, verse 35. Three, do not take the name of God in vain. Keep saying, I swear to God. Don't do that. And you can find it in many verses, among them in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 224. Four, remember the Sabbath day. There has to be a day that you put aside your work and you go worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is, you can find it in the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Jumu'ah, chapter 62, verse 9. And mentioning that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning that there has to be a day out of that in remembrance of the seventh day when He prays to Him. He created heavens and earth in 6 days. Then the seventh day is to be commemorated, to be remembered by going to the places of worship, to the mosque in this case. And you find it in Surah As-Sajda, chapter 32, verse 4. Number 5, honor your father and your mother. Holy Quran is full of mentioning that. Example of that, good treatment of parents, Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 23. 6, do not kill innocent people. Killing, this is human being, innocent life, don't kill it. And you find it throughout the Holy Quran, in particular Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 33. 7, do not commit adultery. Sex outside marriage is prohibited. And you find that in Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 32. Do not steal. This is 8. And you find it in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 38. Do not bear false witness, false testimony. And you find it in verse 36 of Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17. And in Surah Al-Hajj, chapter 22, verse 30. And finally, the 10th commandment, do not covet or desire your neighbor's belongings. And you find it in the last surah of the Holy Quran, وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ, Surah Al-Falaq, chapter 113, verse 5. Their history is full of examples showing how Westerners, what we call Westerners, Europeans particularly, how they borrowed the principles of Islam, literally from Islamic books. And they took them and put them in their laws. Here are some examples. The internet is full. We are blessed with the internet these days. Anybody can just go and find so many books, so many articles written about the subject by Muslim scholars and by European scholars. And I say Europeans because it reflects to the New World. North America and South America are extensions of European laws. There is a wonderful article by Richard Botts about the beginning, from the beginning when Islam started to spread. And he said that Christian leaders in these countries, European countries in which they had contact with Muslims, quickly start borrowing from Islam. In particular, Mediterranean trade law. It started with the islands which Muslims dominated, like Sicily. In Arabic we say Sicilia. It was a Muslim country. Major parts of the Iberian Peninsula, what we call nowadays Spain, Portugal, and South France were all Muslim dominated countries. And Muslims introduced their Sharia, their law, there. the locals adopted that. And until today, in many countries, what we call customs and traditions are given from one generation to another. And still, they are doing that in the European continent. We have evidence, for example, in Spain, James the First of Aragon. He was, and he lived in 1208 to 1276. This is 13th century. And he was pro-Islamic because he admired Islamic Sharia. And he wanted Muslims to stay in his dominion, in his the lands he controlled. To the extent he did what's known in history as mirroring of Islamic Sharia. Not only to keep Muslims untouched by his rule. Okay, you have the Sharia, continue, be governed with it. But of course, the locals who are not Muslims would be affected too. Examples of borrowing in the Mediterranean trade. Some words are still we are using today. The word hawala, maliyah in Arabic. This is still used in major European languages, English or Italian or French. Hawala means transferring money. It was really done by the Muslim traders in the Mediterranean. Another term that Botts is using. Commenda, which means qirad. Europeans did not do that. Qirad is different from qard. This is partnership. I give you money and you invest it. And this is to avoid interests. Because if you give somebody like a bank money and they give you fixed interest, that would be usury or maybe prohibited. But Muslims had this idea of qirad, I give you money, and if you make money, we share. But if there is a loss, we share too. Europeans did not know this topic. And until today, there are companies throughout Europe, in North America, all over the world, who follow that. This is Islamic. It's not anything else. We find foundations for this in the Holy Quran. This is Surah Al-Ma'idah. Chapter 5, the very first verse. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوفوا بالعقود. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to fulfill what we are pledging in a contract. When we sign a contract, any kind of contract, you have to fulfill it. Europeans did not know about this idea until they borrow it from Muslims they had contacts with them. The famous verse about interest and the difference between interest and partnership, this is Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 275. Allah, praise to him, says, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted for you to do selling and buying, but not partnership, qirad, but not taking fixed interest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us not to cheat to get profit. Everybody is seeking for profit, but it has to be legal. It has to be without cheating. And he said in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 29, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل. Or you who have believed, don't cheat in order to take money of others. The best translation I can think of. Also about ordering us for the contracts. This is Surah Al-Baqarah. It's a long verse. Chapter 2, verse 282. He said, يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا تدينتم بدين إلى أجل مسمى فاكتبوه. Or you have believed, if you take a loan for a specific time, then write it down. Before, Europeans did not do that. It was a new idea for them. We're talking about 8th century, 9th century, 10th century. Then Muslims taught them, no, you need to write it down. This is, in this way, everybody would know what's required of them, their rights. وَلَا تَسْأَمُوا أَن تَكْتُبُوهُ صَغِيرًا أَوْ كَبِيرًا إِلَى أَجَلِهِ. And don't be embarrassed to write it, even if it is very small. Whether it is small or big, write it down. وَأَشْهِدُوا إِذَا تَبَيَعْتُمْ. Get witnesses also for that. But in particular, when the Normans are basically French from North France and the borders with Germany, they invaded Sicily. And Sicily, Sicilia in Arabic, was an Arab country, a Muslim country actually, to be more specific. So when they invaded there, they found everything is written into laws. It's not just the king saying what he wants. It's not desires. There are laws here and divine laws from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for justice, for prevention of corruption. And most likely they adopted them. Not only that, later the Normans invaded England and Scotland. And they took the laws that they had in Sicily and applied them into England and Scotland. And we are talking about a long time ago in the 10th century, 9th century. And the English now, anybody who is not educated about that, they think that the English common law is just local. It has nothing to do with Sharia or Islam. Actually, it had heavily borrowed from the Islamic Sharia. Examples of that. Islamic foundations, what we call in Arabic waqf. It was not an idea known in Europe or around the world. Here in the United States, we call it a trust. It's waqf. And it is, Islamic scholars wrote extensively about it. And it is beneficial to society in an unprecedented way. But nothing when you read about the influence of Sharia on Western law. You will quickly reach this great, wonderful aspect. In particular of Sharia, the Maliki fiqh is more influential than any others, actually, for a simple reason. You know, the Sunni schools of thought, the four Sunni schools of thought, Shafi'i, Al-Hanafi, Al-Hanbali, and Al-Maliki. Malik ibn Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, his books were spread in North Africa. That's Arabic, Arab Maghreb. And consequently, Al-Andalus, Spain, Portugal, and South France. And therefore, these places or locals after that, after the recession of Islamic influence there after 1492, still they held that. In particular, the Maliki fiqh, which is the Maliki rules, the Maliki law, the part of the Maliki interpretation of the Sharia. One of the popes, you know, the Pope used to be real ruler. Nowadays, the Pope is just a religious figure in the Vatican and Italy. But the Pope used to be the emperor of the Roman Catholic Empire. One of them is known as Sylvester II. And he lived between 940 and 1003 Gregorian. And this Sylvester, before becoming Pope, he went to Andalusia, Al-Andalus, and particularly Cordoba, that's a great university. And he was a student of Muslim scholars of the Maliki fiqh, Maliki school of thought. And he was fascinated. And of course, he even traveled to Morocco, Marrakesh, Maghreb. And he had more education in the Maliki fiqh, Maliki school of thought, to the extent that when he became a pope, he really ordered the basic principles of the fiqh, Maliki fiqh, to be written in a body of laws and to be administered, to be really used in the Roman Empire at that time. But he did not recognize, he did not tell the people that this is Islamic Sharia. He told them this is the new Roman law. It was really true. He was Roman. It's a new law, but he didn't tell them that this is Islamic Sharia, the new Roman law. But this is history, and it is taught. Napoleon Bonaparte, this is a French general, becoming emperor after that, invaded the Middle East, starting with Egypt in 1797. Then he left Egypt 1801. While in Egypt, he was fascinated with Al-Azhar and its work about law. He was eager to know more about law. And he really encouraged some books from the Islamic law to be translated to French, and he adopted them, and he issued Code de Napoleon. This is the law of Napoleon Bonaparte in 1803, and then mended in 1805, and its final form 1816. And it was really Islamic Sharia to a great extent, and it was scrutinized by Muslim scholars and by French scholars. Now, the comparisons between them. And it was really nothing but major, heavy borrowings from Islamic Sharia. One testimony about that, a book written by Gustave Le Bon, and about that. And in particular, he specified one book and called Al-Sharh Al-Kabir Lil-Sheikh Al-Dardir Wa Hashiyat Al-Dusuqi, which was really, Al-Dusuqi lived until 1230 Hijri, means the time before Napoleon Bonaparte, but most likely he was alive when Napoleon Bonaparte was in the Middle East. One of the Azhar scholars, a great person, may Allah be pleased with him, give him reward for his great book. His name is Sayyid Abdullah Ali Hussein. And he was born in 1889. And he got Al-Alimiyya doctorate, equivalent to doctorate in Islamic studies in 1917. Then he traveled to France, and he got what's equal to bachelor in law from France, in specializing in French law. So you have a unique situation. You have an Islamic scholar, doctorate, top Azhar. Then he became an expert in the French law. It's a unique situation. And he couldn't believe it, that whatever he read in the French law, oh my God, this is Islamic Sharia. And he wrote a wonderful book, actually, and he called it Al-Muqaranat Al-Tashri'iyya Bayna Al-Qawaneen Al-Wad'iyya Al-Madaniyya Wa Al-Tashri'i Al-Islami. Muqaranatan Bayna Fiqh Al-Qanun Al-Faransi Wa Madhhab Al-Imam Malik Ibn Anas Radiyallahu Anhu. That it's a long title for his book, but it says it's a comparison between the French law and the fiqh of Malik ibn Anas. Of course, as an Islamic scholar, he is acquainted with the four schools of thought. Quickly, he figured it out, and he started comparing. And I spent hours and hours, really, I cannot even put them in a list. It's his whole book. But it attracted my attention that about 200 pages about mirath, inheritance, which was chaotic in Europe. But in Islam, it's very specific. The ayat in the Holy Quran are concise, but each Muslim school of thought would specify it in detail. And the Maliki school of thought is very detailed and very easy to understand. And he saw it in the French law, one by one. Who can inherit? Who cannot inherit? What happens if somebody is absent? What happened to your daughter or your son or somebody? All possibilities about the will, writing the will and its relationship to inheritance, for example. The trust, if you have a will to give your money to the public, to the government, to society, it was not known to Europeans. In 1272, going back a little bit, Alphonse the Ninth, the king of Qishtala, Castel in Spanish and maybe Castle in English, but in Arabic we call Qishtala. Alphonse the Ninth. Also, he ordered writing the body of Islamic laws together. And from one major known Islam body of laws in Andalusia, known Qanun al-Wilayat fil Andalus al-Muslima, the law of provinces in Islamic Andalusia. It's just that he just ordered his scholars, okay, go to this book of Muslims, the law, the Islamic law for the provinces, and make it in Spanish for me. So we can make it available to people. Our courts would rule with it. The one I was mentioning earlier about the ruler of Sicily, the Christian ruler who took control over Sicily, Sicilia, from the Muslims, his name was Frederick II. And he was also related to influence. He had influence in Germany, influence north of France, and like I said, later influence on England and Scotland. And taking with him the body of Islamic laws from Sicily to all these parts of Europe, and from there spreading, really. A famous French figure in 1270, known as Louis the Ninth, Louis Tassa, the King of France, who was really in Palestine. This is during the Crusades, and they were established in Palestine. Then he decided to invade Egypt, where he was captured. But he couldn't help recognize the supremacy of the Islamic law. And he ordered again that these laws to be taken to France. So when you say French law is really dependent on the popes before, it's dependent on Louis the Ninth, it's Napoleon Bonaparte, and all of this is just history, historical 10 centuries of continuous borrowing and influences from the Islamic law. In the Indian subcontinent, when the English went there, the English administrators, again, they found that the Muslims are having influence in the old continent, actually, and they saw the supremacy of what they do, the rules from Islamic law. And therefore, they asked Qadi al-Qudha, the judge, the supreme judge of India, his name was Ghulam Yahya Khan Bakhai, and he translated Kitab al-Hidayah, a book called Hidayah Guidance, an Islamic scholar book. He didn't know English, so he translated it to Persian. Then the English administrators translated it from Persian to English, and it was used throughout the English administration of the Indian subcontinent. Just one example, because just of the brevity of time, Europeans generally, including the English, they would punish family members for a crime committed by one member. So one family member commits a crime and he runs away, the government cannot get him, they get his dad, his mom, his brother, and punish them. And Muslims said, no, Islamic Sharia says, وَلَا تَزِرُوا وَزِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. If somebody commits a crime, it's only his crime or her crime. Nobody else should be punished for that. And it was adopted by the English administration. And as a close, I would say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. It is Allah who has sent his messenger with guidance and the religion of truth to manifest it all over all religion, although they who associate others with Allah dislike it. Islam is supreme, Islam is dominant, not because of us, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who descended it to guide humanity to the better. May Allah help us make sense of what we read and what we hear and follow it with good deeds. And he is very close to you, ask him and he will answer your call. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. This was just synopsis, brief points on the huge influence of Islamic Sharia, Islamic law, in the laws dominating the world, not only Europe or North America or the Middle East or Asia or Africa. It is Allah, like this verse in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 33, that Allah said, لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ, and it will be dominant on all religion. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what happened. And whenever we hear voices, ignorant voices, saying that Islam is incompatible with Western civilization, this is ignorance, and it is a burden on our shoulders to explain to the world. No, it is compatible, and you are living by it. The good laws that are good for humanity are Islamic laws. The laws that hurt people are not Islamic. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who benefit from His Quran and tell it and in da'wah to everybody we can reach. Allahumma ighfir lil muslimin wal muslimat wal mu'minina wal mu'minat al ahya' minhum wal amwat innaka sami'un qareebun mujibud da'wati rabbil alamin. Allahumma la tad'a lana fi hadha al yawm al 'azim dhanban illa ghafarta wala daynan illa sadadta wala maridan illa shafaita wala gha'iban illa radadta wala hajatan shar'iyatan illa qadaytaha lana ya karim. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
استقيموا واعتدلوا إلى الصفوف. Straighten the line and complete them. It's a sunnah. الله أكبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله